Fed up of flawed robes, driven to distraction and drowning with doom boxes? Tired of living in chaos? Welcome to Decluttering Untangled, how to declutter when you're overwhelmed, ADHD or autistic. I'm going to help you uncover the secrets to decluttering, no matter what hurdles you face. You'll discover how to declutter, de-stress and transform your world. I'm Heather Tingle, reformed hoarder, neurodivergent declutter queen and your guide through the maze of mess. Let's get untangled. Welcome to another episode of Decluttering Untangled. Now, today's episode is a little bit different and it might be a little bit longer than usual, and that's because I've got a guest expert with me. So I wanted to talk to someone about shopping addiction, impulsive spending, and I have the perfect person to ask. So Maddie Alexander Grout is an ADHD money specialist, and she got herself out of £40,000 worth of debt, which she says due to ADHD. And obviously as an ADHD myself, totally get it, totally understand it. We've all got that thing in us to buy things when it's maybe not the right option. So we're going to have a chat about and hopefully get you some tips on how to counteract that impulsivity that, let's face it, leaves us feeling rubbish at the end of the day with too much stuff and not enough cash. So welcome, Maddie.
Hey, Heather. Thanks for having me. It's lovely to be here. My favourite topic to talk about.
Yay. So tell us a bit about you and like £40,000 to debt. Like, how on earth did you manage to, well, get into that state? And how did you get yourself out of it again? Because I'm sure there'll be lots of people feeling totally get where you're coming from. I mean, I've done it. I've been there. I've been doing shopping as a hobby, which made me feel a bit rubbish. When you get back and you realise you've got no money in your bank account, and then, you know, going overdrawn because you... Now I don't do stuff. I do still do slight splurges on experiences and holidays and all that kind of stuff. So can you give us some tips?
Of course. So I am an ADHD money specialist. It's quite prevalent to kind of know my background. So I have ADHD, I have autism, dyspraxia, dyslexia, dyscalculia, discombobulation is the other one that I often say. The only one that I say I don't have is Tourette's. I am still quite sweary though. But it's basically something that people don't talk about enough. People don't talk about money enough in general, and especially as neurodivergent, it is something that we really struggle with. Yeah. So I got diagnosed with ADHD when I was 38. Mm-hmm. So I spent a good 40 years not really knowing anything about my brain. And I had a massive money story, like a really big one. From the age of 5, I got diagnosed with an artificial colouring allergy when I was 5 years old, which is quite interesting at the moment because of the whole Joe Wicks thing. There's lots of stuff going on about it. And like, I'd never had any processed food, any sugars, anything that would lead my parents to think that I was hyperactive because of food. They took me to the doctors. Doctors said, she's got an artificial colouring allergy. She's allergic to all of these things. And my mum was like, but she doesn't eat those things. And they were like, just cut them out. So I ended up on a diet of like really, really heavily home-cooked meals, no process, no nothing. So really, for the first 12 years of my life, I hadn't had any exposure to anything. But funnily enough, didn't change my behaviour because of the fact that I had ADHD. But my spending problems started when I was in my teens. Because when I started school and people started bringing sweets in and chocolate, I got very interested in that quite quickly because I'd never had any exposure to it. And giving a child who has never had sweets at the age of 11-12 sugar, I got addicted really, really fast. And I started to hoard my lunch money. I didn't eat properly during the day, and I would save my lunch money up so I could go to the shop after school and buy sweets and chocolate. And then I developed an eating problem. And all I did was eat sweets and chocolate, but I hid it from my parents, my family. Literally nobody knew about it, and I was the weird kid at school. I was the one that was really hyperactive. I was over talkative. I was really over friendly. I basically like hyper suffocated people in relationships and until they got really scared of me. And all of that was ADHD. And I started to get given money when I was like 14 as an allowance. I got a job working as a chambermaid in a hotel, and I just had no idea how to manage it. But it was kind of the, you know, in the 90s, it was the thing that you just went to town and you shopped.
Yep, that's it.
So, you know, that was it. You know, what are you doing at the weekend? If you're a girl, especially, it's like, I'm going to town with my friends. And you didn't go specifically to, like, do anything other than spend money. So yeah. I'd buy clothes and makeup and sweets and McDonald's and all sorts. Yeah. And I just never learned how to manage it. Mm. And then my parents got divorced and I think I had a bit of trauma. And I started spending to kind of get rid of that trauma. Mm. And I spent and I spent and I spent. And I saved about $3,000 to go to university. And when I got there, the first person I met said, oh, are you coming to Freshers' Fair tomorrow? And I said, what's that? They yeah. said, you can come and get all these freebies. So I walked through the door of Freshers' Fair, got every single thing that I could possibly lay my hands on. I signed up for all of the credit cards, all of the overdrafts, yeah. all of the loans for every single bank. And I got a £70,000 credit line as yeah. a 19-year-old, which is yeah. so dangerous.
It's horrendous. Mm. Yeah, I remember that too.
And there wasn't any credit checks or anything like that. It was all just like soft searches, have all this money. And of course, I knew I had to pay it back. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've been victim of that whole like twisting the headlines thing. Like there was a story about me the other day where it was like, woman doesn't know she has to pay back credit card. It's like, no, I always knew.
You got to pay back at some point.
Yeah, I just chose to not think about it. Yeah. Because I was getting all of my dopamine from my spending. So, yeah. But I was in a vicious cycle. I would feel like I didn't fit in. So yeah. I would drink lots to kind of feel like I fitted in with everybody else because it was a very boozy culture at the university I went yeah. to. I think probably all of them were quite boozy. Mm. So I would go out, I would get drunk, I'd buy something new to wear so that I felt like I was a normal person. Yeah. And I'd wake up in the morning, I'd feel like death, and I'd take myself into town, I'd do some shopping to make myself feel better. And that carried on for 4 years. Mm. And it was only when I started to not be able to afford the repayments on all of the credit cards that it started to be a real problem. Mm. So I would hide them under my doormat. Like whenever a debt collector's letter came, I would just avoid it. And that was the worst thing I could have done. Apart from maybe moving to avoid all of them. So I did that as well, twice.
Yep.
I moved house to a different place in Leicester where I was living. And then I moved to a different city altogether. And that was fine for a while. Like I think I had about 6 months where I was living the life of Larry. And yeah. then all of a sudden they caught up with me and my boyfriend's parents who we were living with chucked us out because yeah. they were like, we don't want your bad credit score in our house. Get out. Mm. So me and my boyfriend were homeless and we sofa surfed for a bit and then I broke up with him and he went and lived back with his parents and I lived on my friend Mark's floor on a blow up mattress for about 6 months. Luckily, very, very luckily he was there. And I just thought, what am I doing with my life? But I carried on. There was yeah. nothing at this point that made me happy apart from spending money. So I just yeah. spent it like it was going out of fashion. Even though I knew that every time I spent money, I was getting myself in further, I just couldn't help myself. And it all came to a bit of a head when a bailiff turned up. And luckily, I had one of these little chains that you could put across the door. But he tried to get in and I was really scared. And I remember phoning my mum and saying, Mum, I'm in £40,000 worth of debt. And her being like, oh, my God. I think she was almost kind of happy because she thought I had a drug addiction. And that was right. why I was avoiding her. So I think she was almost a bit like shopping and drugs.
Yeah.
Still not great. But I think people don't look at spending addiction as a proper addiction. It's not like alcoholism or drug abuse or any of those things, but actually it's the one addiction that you can't just cut out. There's no like
something you've always got to go to at some point. Yeah,
exactly. And I have very, very, very strict protocol now for shopping and I live my life by a set of rules and sometimes that does feel a bit restrictive, but it's the only way that I know that I don't spend, because once you're addicted to something, it's really hard to not be addicted to it anymore. So ADHDers are like something like 70% more likely to impulse spend than neurotypicals.
Yeah.
And that's because we have that lack of that risk aversion. We're just like, yes, we're happy to take those risks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a chemical thing in our brains that makes us do certain actions, like drinking too much, like the drug addiction. It's all about dopamine seeking. And shopping is that thing, but it also comes with lots of shame and guilt and, you know, potential family problems, friendship problems. And I've had all of those things. It wasn't an easy journey. When I moved back to Southampton, and my mum said, you need to go to Citizens Advice.
Actual outside support with it.
Yeah. And nowadays there is so much more around. So I mean, I run a money app for neurodivergence to help them with anything money related, mad about money. Step Change, amazing charity.
Yeah, Step Change is what I
such a brilliant support, and we work quite closely with them. Citizens Advice, yes, you know, it's still there, but they give quite standardized advice. So the good thing about Mad About Money is that we give all of our advice for neurodivergence. So it's very specific and very, very tailored. But I moved back and went to see Citizens Advice, and they said, you're in £40,000 worth of debt. The only option you've got here is bankruptcy. And the word bankruptcy, I just went, oh, I don't want to do that. Yeah. That sounds really scary. So I decided to kind of tackle it on my own. And actually, it was the best thing I ever did. I asked my mum to bail me out. She said no. The best thing she ever did. That what she did was she sat me down, she showed me how to write a budget plan. I mean, maybe it was a little bit too late, but like, I mean, to be honest, she wasn't really aware that I didn't know what I was doing. I think people just kind of assume, oh, yeah, people know how to use money, but they don't.
No, they don't.
So, so it was only the fact that I'd said to her, I don't know what I'm doing. Can you help me? And she said, yeah, I'll help you. So we made this budget plan. We worked out that if I followed the tips that Citizens Advice had given me, that it was going to take 60 years for me to actually pay that debt off.
Whoa.
So I came up with my own method. I took Dave Ramsey's 50-30-20 rule, and I adapted it to my needs. So I basically had the 50-40-10 rule. Yeah, so the 50-20-30 rule is where you spend 50% of your monthly incomings on your rent, your mortgage, your kind of your prioritization bills. Mm-hmm. So your gas, your electric, your water, like the things that you have to do.
Yeah.
Then you spend 30% of it on things like living costs. So like clothing, food, whatever you need to kind of survive. Mm-hmm. And then the 20% is like paying on your debts.
Right. Okay.
But I swapped it all around. So I did 40% every month on my debts, and I lived on 10% of my wages for 4 years. Which was really tough.
Yeah.
But I learned to be like a super frugal, super savvy, like really, really thrifty. I changed all of my shopping habits. So I sold what I could. I decluttered. Mm-hmm. Everything that I'd hoarded. I mean, there were some special things that I kept hold of, which actually was a good thing. And I'll tell you about that in a minute. Yeah. But everything that I had, I tried to get rid of, and I sold it so that I had more money to pay off the debts. I yellow sticker shopped 6 days a week. I had Sundays off because generally I was hungover. And it was all about how much can I get for as little money.
But that can be quite an addictive, positive thing in its own right, can't it? I know when I was decluttering, for me, one thing I always talk about when in the declutter your money type of thing is that one of the things that really worked for me was having a bank account from all the things that I'd sold and putting that money into it with a really amazing goal at the end of it. And then it became a bit of an addiction to try and sell as much stuff as I could to try and bump that up. And that felt good in a positive way. It was, instead of spending, bringing it back in. So that's quite good thing to do. Yeah, swap it.
I swapped all of my negative shopping habits for different ones and ones that felt gamified. So I started up like savings envelopes. So I put money each week into an envelope. Once I got out of the payday loan cycle, because that was quite a hard one, like Wonga, they got me back in the day. And I was permanently living like month to month, like not being able to do anything because I was stuck in the Wonga cycle. But then I started to get paid more. So I worked out kind of like, if you're stuck in that situation where you can't pay your debts, the only way is up and you need to work out how to earn more money. So I just worked really hard in my job. I got promoted a few times. I made loads of commission, and then I'd pay off like big chunks in one go. And I just laser focused on it. It was ADHD hyper-focus at its best.
Yeah, I was going to say it's good hyper-focus.
It was, I had tunnel vision for 4 years.
Yeah.
It was all about the money saving. I got really into charity shop shopping, and I loved it. Like the thrifting, car boot sales. If there was somewhere where I could make money, I would. And I would actually specifically go to car boot sales and charity shops and find things that were worth more than I paid for them. And I'd go and, sell them on. Don't tell the tax man, because it wasn't that legal.
Well, I was going to say that can be quite dangerous for people I know, because you end up keeping them and you don't actually sell them on, because your ADHD brain has got the fix of buying. And the idea of selling it is great, but actually getting round to then selling it never happens. So you've got to be really careful.
Yeah. And if you earn more than £1,000 a year from it, you do have to declare it to the tax man now. At the time, it was a bit more of a loose thing. It was a loose arrangement. Me and the tax man, we were just kind of, vaguely pals.
We see what you're doing, but we're ignoring it.
Exactly. So I did that, and everything that I did was all about saving money. Like, I'd throw parties at my house so that people would bring their booze, so I had like a store of booze and I didn't have to buy my own. I would just do really quirky things to make sure that I didn't have to spend any money. If I was going out, I'd take a bottle of gin in my bag, like, just, I never, and I used to blag everything. I'd blag like free entry to clubs, and like if something was going on, like if there was a gig on, I'd like go down and like just kind of flirt with the doorman and see if I could get in. And it worked. I just honestly, I became such a blagger. And it was just, it was fun. Everything that I did was almost like a competition. So I gamified everything. And I paid off in 3.5 years, I paid off 25 grand. So I worked really hard on it. And then one day, after a very, very heavy night out, I was asleep and my boyfriend woke me up and said, "We need to get out, the house is on fire."
Oh my God.
And I was just like, "Whoa, what's going on? What's going on?" I could see flames outside my window and I could see stuff falling. And I was like, "This is not good." So I put my dressing, basically, I pulled my dressing gown on, put my slippers on, went outside, forgot to put any pants on. So I was in the street not wearing any pants, and then later on that day in a pub not wearing any pants because I still couldn't go home. And my entire flat burned down. I lost everything that I owned, like literally everything. Then this is a hilarious ADHD thing. Students were having a barbecue on the roof terrace. I didn't even know there was a roof terrace in my flat. I'd lived there for like 2 years, had no clue. Because I'd only ever just gone to my floor, which was on the second floor. I'd never gone further up for some reason. So
changed the toaster setting alarms off all the time, which is usually what happens with students.
I know. So I ended up homeless again, and I had to move in with my boyfriend, who I was not ready to move in with because we'd only been together for like 5 months, and it didn't work. And weirdly, it was like a sense of fate, but my old flat came back on the market. So I moved into the old flat that I'd lived in when I first moved back to Southampton. And I very luckily had contents insurance, so I managed to claim.
Did you manage to get
it back? I managed to claim it all back, and I got just under £16,000, and I made the decision that I was going to use the rest of that money to pay off my debts, because I thought about it, and I thought all of the expensive stuff I've bought, you know, it's all worth money, and actually that bumped my insurance stuff up a bit, which was quite nice, because I was like, oh, I've got like, yeah, I've got these Nike trainers, I've got this bag, and like all of these designer things that I really like shopping. So I managed to pay the rest off, which left me £1,000 to rebuild my life. I had no clothes. I had literally nothing. Everything that I owned had gone. The insurance company had given me like an emergency payout so that I could go and get like, you know, the stuff I needed, like a couple of bits and bobs. So I just went to Primark and bought. And I wish I hadn't, because actually I don't like shopping in Primark. I much prefer places like Sainsbury's, cheap and cheerful, but actually the clothes last longer. So, and also with Sainsbury's, they also tend to cater for an ADHD brain. So if you like a T-shirt, you can buy it in all of the colours like I do. I always say that I've been there, done that.
I can talk to you.
I've been there, done that, and I've bought all of the T-shirts in different colours.
Oh, this is not what you're meant to do. You just get pick the ones that you really like the colour. This is what I used to do when I used to go shopping. I used to find one that I really liked and then buy it in all all the colours, yeah, because, you know,
and this is,
it's often not that you really like it, and actually sometimes you don't actually love it. It's,
well,
just that,
see, I'm very much a creature of habit, and I think this is where like my autistic side comes in.
Yeah,
if I find something that I like that is comfortable, because I'm very much, I like to be comfortable, I don't like things that itch, I don't like things that are close, yeah, to my skin,
and all that.
I buy them in all the colours, because I know then that that's actually a much better way. And it also, I only shop twice a year for clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I shop in the winter, I shop in the summer, and I go through my, yeah, wardrobe before I do any shopping so that I can see what I need. I basically do like a, yeah, stock take of the things that I know, mm-hmm, so that I don't end up buying things that I don't need to. So,
yeah,
let's talk a little bit about the impulse spending, because we've talked a lot about my story. So impulse spending is hard, but if you can change impulse spending to conscious spending, so you are, mm-hmm, spending money and aware of the fact that you're spending money, that's where the switch goes. So, yeah, impulse spending is when you don't have any control over what you're doing. It's almost like you hear people who are like, you know, where they wake up in the middle of the night and they go and buy things, and you're like, how did you do that? Do you even remember doing that? It's about trying to flip to being aware of the spending. So the first thing that I always recommend for people to do is start making a log. Every time you spend any money, no matter how small, write it down. And write down next to it how you're feeling at the time you make that purchase. It will, yeah, start to make you really, really aware of, mm-hmm, the emotion that is attached to it. Because often, as ADHDers, you know, it's not like our brains say you have to go and shop, that's what you're made to do. There's an emotion there. It might be that we're sad. It might be that we're bored. It might be that we're just looking to fill some time. In which case, yeah, also have a look at the things that you do in your life. And is there something that you can do if you're feeling like spending? Can you do something else? Or if you're feeling like spending, can you go on a massive, massive, massive splurge and then delete your cart? It gives you, yeah, the same dopamine level, but you just don't, mm-hmm, end up with the stuff. Because half the time when the stuff comes, you're like, I didn't mean to buy that, I didn't want it. And then you get the, yeah, regret and the guilt and all of the feelings that are associated, mm-hmm, with it. Whereas actually, yeah, could you just get the same dopamine by going and chucking a load of stuff in your basket, going and having the fun shopping and then walking away?
Yeah.
But you do need, yes, to be aware of that. If you leave stuff in your basket, the people who you're trying to buy from will probably send you a discount code. So you do need to just delete the basket, ignore the thing, and walk away. So it takes a bit of, you know, a bit of self-control, and that's not always something that ADHDers have.
It's harder, isn't it? Because sometimes you do need that gap between enjoyment of the buzz of putting it all in your basket and actually buying it. That,
yes,
the longer you do that gap, the less likely it is that you're going to buy it. From my
let's talk about the separation and the gap, because that is something that ADHDers or anybody who's struggling with impulse spending or emotional spending can do. Separate yourself from the purchase. Do whatever you can to make sure that it's as hard as possible for you to make that purchase. Stop with the, yeah, beepy beepy. So when, yeah, you go to the supermarket, stop with the contactless. Make it a rule that you have to put your PIN number in. You have, yeah, to insert your card, you have to put your PIN number in. Or you go, mm-hmm, and get cash out of the cash machine and you spend with cash and you budget.
Yeah. So that is much harder, is, actually handing cash over.
It's a physical thing that you can look at.
Yeah.
Like, I am so much a pro cash person. I use cash for a lot of things. And then, mm-hmm, you know, when you're finished with your cash, put your money in a savings pot, use that for treats, do whatever, you know, have different pots allocated to different things. Make,
yeah,
it hard to purchase. Unlink your cards from anywhere they're linked to on your phone, your website, Amazon, Deliveroo. Mm. If you're one of those people who gets like that ADHD task paralysis and you can't be bothered to cook, step away from the Deliveroo. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I am so bad with that. And also, like, food for me, because of the fact that I've had a food thing all my life because of the colouring allergy, yeah, I know that if I can't be bothered to cook, I'll reach for a takeaway and it is never as good as you think it's going to be. And then you can get like that whole dopamine lack and you're like,
because it makes you feel rubbish.
I just spent 20 quid on a rubbish pizza that I don't need, that's gonna, yeah, make me feel like rubbish.
Yeah,
so I'm doing really well with the non-sweary, aren't I? Like, I'm doing
really well. I'm really impressed.
So, yeah. Holding it in. I'm gonna get off and say a load of swear words, but it's that barrier. About Money app has discounted gift vouchers, so there is a process that we talk about in the app, where like we make it as hard as possible for you guys to actually buy the vouchers. You know, it's not an easy thing. You have to sign up for a you have to sign up for the portal, then you have to go and buy them, and then you have to like you use them instead of using cash. But it makes your purchase cheaper, and it puts that barrier in the way of you spending. So yeah, there's that like that extra little, the extra little hurdle like you've got to go to.
Yeah,
keep your purse away from you in the house. So if you if you recognize that, like, on, you know, if you're lying in bed on a Sunday morning, that's the time when you like to go shopping, take your cards away, go and put them somewhere where you have to physically go and get them. Because
I have known clients in the past put their bank cards in a frozen, put in water and put them in the freezer. So they have to wait for it to defrost before they can use it.
Yeah.
And let's face it, you've got to really like something to have to go through that.
And the delayed gratification is another really good thing. You know, keeping stuff in your basket for 48 hours to make sure you want it, staying away from things like Prime Day, because like it's not a saving if you didn't want that thing in the first place. Exactly. So it's really, really important to kind of recognize that. But also allocate your money. Budgeting is so overrated and underrated even. But it's also the fact that people hear the word budgeting and they're like, that sounds really boring. A budget is what you make it. So I have so many different pots, and you can do this in like Starling, Monzo, Revolut. They're the best ones. I love Starling. I honestly couldn't live without it. I have a pot for basically everything. I've got a pot for like children's activities. I've got a pot for self-care. I've got a pot for fun. I've got a pot for festivals. Like I enjoy my life, but I allocate the money so that I can enjoy it. Because then you don't feel guilty. It's like there's a lot of guilt that comes with ADHD. And just because you struggle with spending doesn't mean that you can't enjoy your life. It's not about like cutting out all the things that you love. If you really, really, really love shopping and you really, really want to go shopping and that's a hobby for you, it doesn't have to be a problem if you have budgeted for the things you know what you're going to buy. It's all about conscious spending. So that's how you turn spending addiction into something slightly more positive. So for me now, my spending addiction, I treat myself and I'm like, right, I've got a tenner. I'm going to go to the charity shop. And I'm going to go crazy. And I'll go to the charity shop and I'll buy things. But I have a system. So to be able to get that money to go to the charity shop, I have to sell stuff. So that means I have to declutter. It means that like I have, and we're in the process of selling our house as well. So we are very much hoarders and we are very much trying to declutter and kind of do our thing. But have your money as like rewards. So like almost kind of, so gamify your life. So you know, say to yourself, right, yes, I can spend money. I can go spend 50 quid on a new skirt or a new jacket or whatever. If I can find 50 quid's worth of stuff to sell in my house, I think it makes it a challenge. It makes it a game. It also means that you're rewarding yourself. You know, you've got that reward for saving that money or for, you know, being a bit more controlled.
I did very similar. So I would sell like five items that I wasn't that bothered about and then use that money to buy one item that I did care about. And that makes a massive difference, because eventually I discovered once I totally decluttered, my mental health and my whole life was so much easier. I didn't want to ruin it by just going on a spending splurge and buying a load of stuff that would make me feel rubbish, make me feel skin, and then I'd have to find space for again. And I knew that in 6 months' time, I'd be getting rid of it.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
And also, it's really one of the things when you first said about what we used to do when you used to go into town when you were kids. And I think for me, money was, and shopping was, a way to try to feel accepted, because absolutely, I was weird kid. You know, being undiagnosed autistic, going through school, always bullied, you know, being very small as well, like much tinier than everybody else. I was quite obviously the bullish, you know, bullish choice. Everybody else was going and buying clothes that everybody else was wearing.
Yes.
Because my parents wouldn't buy something because
I've got a story there. So I did something really, really, really bad when I was at school. Like I wanted to fit in, and my parents were like, you are not one of the chavvy, like Adidas trousers type wearing child. And I was like, but I want some popper trousers. Like, I was obsessed. I need them because I need them to be cool. And my parents were like, no, that is not you. You are not that child. So they didn't want me to buy it. So I remember being at school in after PE one day and seeing a pair of trousers, and I put them in my bag and I walked away. And I was the only kid in that changing room at the time. And the next day I was called to the head teacher's office. We know you've taken them, Maddie. And what I'd done was I'd scribbled out their name on it and I'd written mine on it instead. And I remember feeling, 'cause I'd never done anything like that before in my life. Yeah. Just feeling like I was going to get expelled. I'd stolen something. I was so bad. And I explained the situation and they were actually really nice about it. And they said, like, the girl whose trousers you took, she doesn't know about it. We'll just cut the label out. It'll be fine. They won't know it's you.
Yeah.
And I felt so bad, but it's that fitting in thing. I was like, I was prepared to do anything to be accepted. And that was hard. Mm-hmm. That was really hard.
Yeah.
But one of the things that, let's go back a bit to the spending, because one of the things that I have is like a set of kind of criteria of whether or not I buy something. And it's easier said than done to do. But the first question I ask myself is it going to make a difference to my life? Is it going to add value? How's it going to make me feel? And then my second question after that, which is much more impactful, is, if somebody was going to give me the money, the same equivalent in cash that thing costs, would I rather take the cash or the thing? If it's the thing, then I put it in my basket. I wait for 48 hours just to make double sure. Mm-hmm. If it's the cash, I just delete it and I walk away. Yeah. Because, you know, I mean, it'd be nice if somebody did give me the cash every time. But it's just a way of rationalizing that decision. And it,
what I used to do is move money from my current account into a fun pot every time I thought I wanted to buy something.
Yes.
And that is all very similar in that the whole brain goes to, would I rather have the money or would I rather have the thing? And a lot of the time I'd rather have the money. Money makes me feel safe.
Exactly.
If I have it.
Yeah.
It makes me feel a little bit more relaxed. I feel that if I'm anxious about something, there's usually a way out of it, which can be given by having that safety net of money. And I would much rather have that feeling than what I used to have, which was being bailed out. Because one of the worst things my parents did would bail me out.
I mean, I have been there at certain times, especially like since being out of debt, where I've had like the odd wobble where like I've had to ask for money. And it is, I think that's the most degrading thing that you could possibly do, is asking for money. And it feels icky and horrible. But also then it's that pressure of like, you know, you don't owe a credit card company. You owe somebody that actually, if you don't pay them back, you know, you're going to lose their love. So it's, and we're people pleasers as ADHD. And that's really hard. But I think there, one thing that, you know, if anybody takes anything away from this podcast today, is I want people to say it out loud. I'm not bad with money. I have ADHD. Because it is such a common thing for people who have money problems, for it to be linked to ADHD. You're not broken. And the more negative language that you use to yourself, like saying that you're terrible with money, you're rubbish at money, other people tell you that you're bad with money, it's an ingrained thing that actually goes into your subconscious. It's money trauma. The more negatively you talk to yourself about anything in life, not just about money, the more it will stay deep rooted. So instead of saying I'm bad with money, start saying, I'm learning to be better with money. I'm educating myself on how to be better with money. I've downloaded Mad About Money app and I'm learning more about how it all works. I'm joining a community of people where it's acceptable to talk about it and we're not failures if we mess up on the odd occasion, because you're not always going to get it right.
You have those starts, aren't you?
Exactly. But it's about changing your mindset and just keep learning. And don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, as they say. You know, if you have one day where you mess up and you accidentally go and spend money, just get back on the horse the next day. So I woke up yesterday and I had, like, with ADHD, you have like these connecting thoughts. So I lent a pair of wellies to my friend, and they were my husband's wellies. And she messaged me and she said, I'm so sorry, but your husband's wellies are broken and I've had to tape them back together. And I was like, oh no. And then my first thought wasn't, the wellies are broken. My first thought was, I'm going to a festival soon. My wellies are broken. Oh my God, I need some new wellies. So I went and found some wellies. But what I did do first is I went and looked and found a discount voucher. I went and looked for a good price, and then I bought the wellies, and I knew that I needed them. Then I was like, oh, I love shopping. I went and, so then I went on to Shein and I was like, I need to do my summer shop. No, it's fine. It's good. Because I do my clothes shopping in one big hit, I've got a process for that as well. And I only do it twice a year. And I generally only buy from like Sainsbury's or Shein or like places that are quite affordable. So I went and I put every single last thing that I liked in my Shein basket. And every day since, I've been going back through and I've been looking, going, oh, no, actually, I don't like that one as much. And then there's some of them out of stock and that kind of thing. And then I will whittle it down to like 5 or 6 things that I want, and then I will buy them. But the dopamine is spread out over the whole week because it's a whole process. It's fun. It's a game. Although then you have to really, really, really watch out for how many adverts you get on Facebook.
because every 2 seconds there'll be another one.
This world is not built for ADHD brains, and it is quite tough for us. So you just got to understand that it's not you. It is linked very much to ADHD.
Absolutely.
But not all ADHD is struggle with money. Sometimes it can be an autistic thing. Sometimes it can be a dyscalculia thing. It can be a dyslexia thing. It doesn't have to, and sometimes it can just be a normal neurotypical I'm struggling with money type thing. But if you look at the amount of people who have impulse spending problems, the amount of people who are in debt, the numbers are a lot higher for people with neurodivergent conditions.
I think for me, my autistic traits are probably stronger than my ADHD ones, luckily now. I think they work really well. So my brain will have an idea of, oh, wouldn't it be great? So I see someone, some influencer in this gorgeous hotel somewhere, and I'll go, oh, I won't mind going there. But then that's my ADHD. Mm-hmm. Ooh, let's go there. But then my autism brain goes, no, because we've got to research absolutely everything about this place, absolutely about the hotel, absolutely everything about all the flights. And it takes me so long that by that point, I've kind of burnt out on the whole idea. And I'm like, no, I don't need to do that anymore.
Since I started taking my ADHD medication, my autistic side is so much worse. It's basically just taken away and it's unmasked. Like I haven't had an official autism diagnosis, but when I had my ADHD diagnosis, my psychiatrist said, you've also got traits of autism. Do you want to go down that route? I was like, nope, not for me. I don't have autism. No. Started on my meds and I'm like, oh my God, it's there. Like, it's so there.
Oh, come on, Maddie. Autistics rule the world, come and join our gang.
I'm leaning into my power and I feel like it's good. Yeah. And also it really, really does explain so much of, and also my sensory processing is so much worse since being off the meds. Yeah. I'm like, don't touch me. Do not touch me. Do not hug me unless you've asked my permission. I am so like, the boundaries are up.
I think the only time when I'm working with clients where I allow them to buy more of one of the same thing is something like shoes. When you've found that perfect item that fits really well, that it's been an absolute nightmare to whittle down to get that one thing that's irritating. And then there is a panic that in 2 years' time when something is falling to pieces,
that you won't get that. I have.
That is a struggle.
I've got 4 pairs of the same Rocket Dog boots because I just really like them. And I've also got about 6 pairs or Rocket Dog flip-flops. I mean, if Rocket Dog ever go under, I swear that they're going to lose a lot of, they're definitely going to lose a lot of business from me because I do buy pretty much all of my shoes from there. I'm very much like, I have winter clothes, I have summer clothes. I don't have anything in between, which is why this whole burn why the burn thing happened, because I'm not into summer yet. Like, you don't get burnt in spring. Like, it's not a thing.
It's been hailing here today. I mean, I'm probably meant to be in spring. I don't know when that's going to happen.
The weather, do you know what? Now it's really nice. But this morning when I was due to go for my walk, it was chucking it down. So I think, But I think, again, that's very much an autistic thing. You put things into categories and they don't, then the categories are set. That is it. There is no, it's very black or white. So I kind of have started to realize that. So at the weekend, I was like, I need some sunglasses because the sun's starting to come out and I'm trying to like tell myself that I need to do these things. Yeah. Think about the sun cream though, did I? Silly woman.
Well, you wouldn't really, would you? So no, I think that's really helpful. I think I mean, from my point of view, I don't do the summer and winter because, let's face it, in the UK, you can have all the seasons in 2 hours, really. But right. I do have those. One of the best things, like you were saying about your rock dog shoes or boots, is that if you adore something that much, they're the things that you keep. And it doesn't matter how many of those you keep, if you adore them. However, those annoying trainers or the flip-flops that hurt your feet, they're the ones that you get rid of. You know, get rid of those, sell those on. Get rid of them and keep also, the one that you adore.
You know, also for people who don't want to sell things, don't keep things just because you don't want to sell it. Chuck it in a bag, take it to the charity shop, take it to a local, like a local charity skip, you know, they've got those bins. Like, make sure that somebody else is getting value from your things. You know, one man's treasure and all that. Clear that space, because I promise you, it will clear your mind. And when you've got a clear mind, it leaves it open for, you know, making more money and stuff like that as well. So, you know, I'm
one of the best things I did when I decluttered, it totally changed how I felt about myself. I no longer felt like a failure at everything.
Yes.
I didn't feel like I had to hide anything anymore. I could be who I actually was, and it was okay. Yeah. And that helped with the spending, because I wasn't buying things to make me feel as good as other people.
Yeah.
Because I didn't need them anymore, didn't need that. Now I don't look at prices of things, and everyone's really horrified by it. I was like, but if I love it enough, it is irrelevant.
Yeah.
I'm gonna buy it. If I don't like it enough, that's when I'd be looking at the price. Mm-hmm. So it's obvious I'm not bothered about it, because if the price is an issue, I don't need it. And things like, you know, Amazon, Temu, all that kind of stuff, you know, that is, from my point of view, if you struggle with shopping, getting involved in something like that, which is so perfectly gamified to make you want to buy things, you think you're getting a bargain. Actually, it wasn't a bargain if you didn't really need it.
And they will £15 spend.
You feel you need to.
You don't need 15 quid's worth of stuff from Temu. You don't need to. Like, I purposefully the other day went and downloaded the app to see if I could win that 40 quid that everyone was talking about. I shared it with all my audience. I did this thing, and I was like, guys, right, just download it, delete it as soon as you've done it. But you know, it's so gamified. It preys on people who struggle with spending. So avoid apps like that completely.
So avoid. So really, one of the easiest ways to do it is to not put yourself in harm's way in the first place. Mm. So don't go shopping when you're bored as an activity, because you've got to spend. Let's face it. Unsubscribe from all the emails. Yeah. You're going to get a million. And if you do want that, you know, money off voucher for something that you really do want from that shop, then you can re-sign up and get it. That's, you know, it's not going to cause a problem.
Or come and download Mad About Money and just get the, you know, buy the discounted vouchers. It ring fences your budget as well. So it's quite a useful tool.
For me, having a buy list, so giving myself permission to buy the perfect whatever because the other one's broken or the other one's, you know, old or whatever. Allowing yourself that outlet to buy if you want to buy, but in a really, like you said, in a considered way. Yeah. So that's what it needs to be about. Yeah. It needs to be considered as opposed to just impulsive and then regretful later.
It's about the mindful and about the conscious. And if the boredom, like, it's about recognizing those spending triggers. Once you recognize the spending triggers, whether it, you know, and it doesn't have to be boredom or sadness. It could be that you're happy. You know, so many people buy like a celebratory thing or like,
or that I'm going to treat myself.
Exactly. And there's nothing wrong with treating yourself, and you should do it, but just have a budget for it. Have a ring-fenced amount that is for treats, and then you don't feel bad about it, and then you're not stuck in that vicious cycle.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on, Maddie. If people want to find you, where is the best place to find more about you and your app?
So I am on all social media, Maddie Alexander Grout. My TikTok is probably where I give the most free information. That's Mad About Money Official. I'm Maddie Talks Money on Instagram, because I don't know why it wouldn't let me have Mad About Money Official. And you can download the app for free in the app stores, Mad About Money.
Put that all in the show notes for you all.
Yeah, type in Mad About Money.
Well, I hope that's given you lots to think about and hopefully implement too. So until next time, be kind to yourself and keep untangling.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks for joining me for today's episode of Decluttering Untangled. If you found anything that I've said today helpful, please do me a favour, hit that subscribe button or leave me a review. It's like receiving a virtual high five that keeps me going and lets me know that I'm helping real people out there and I'm making a difference. Please remember, you're not alone in this. I'm building a community of fellow untanglers over on Facebook. Just visit the show notes for the link to my free decluttering community. So until next time, remember, you're not alone, you're not lazy, you can untangle your life.